to all the commitment that you're making between a church and a pastor. So that's really what it is. We are convincingly congregational in the Free Church, which means I'm not doing anything that you have not already done as a congregation. You've done the search process. You've done the praying. I've prayed with you, but you've taken the lead on that. And you've already hired your pastor and given him his call. Today we make those words formal and out loud. And so that's what I'm here for, to acknowledge what has happened, what God has done among us. And so the first step in doing that this morning is I'm going to ask a member of the search committee to just share with you and remind you the process that got us to this day. And I think those of you who are members of this church, you already know this very well. It's not a mystery, but I want that to be front in your mind as we say the words of commitment. So thank you, Kelvin.
Yeah, thanks, Marvin. So yeah, it's been a little while. So Pastor Dan and Cheryl were here 17 years, and Dan's mom was in her late 90s, living on her own in Calgary, needing some help, and he just felt like in that fall, that one fall of 2022, God released him and said, you know what, it's okay. It's okay for you to move back and take care of your mom, be with your family. And so he let us know as a board at the end of 2022. And then June 2023, we blessed them and released them to Calgary. And it was obviously hard for us, but also we just had a peace about it. You know, God just felt like God's hand was in it and it was going to be okay. So that was just over 2.5 years ago. We did wait a little bit. We decided, you know what, we're not going to dive straight into a search right off the bat. And so early kind of spring 2024, we officially started a search committee. And then that fall was really when we got started. So kind of through the summer, the fall is when I think a lot of the ads went out and different postings and all that kind of stuff. And I remember a sermon back then, probably earlier even, might have been right after Dan left, late 2023, Pastor Lyndon Wall was here, and he preached a sermon about, he just felt like God saying, you know what? God has someone for this church who's going to be the right person at the right time, and they're going to, and he said, I'm praying for someone that wants to have this position in this church, that has the heart to be here. And it's something I always remembered, you know, and as the search committee got going, 2024, we got a bunch of resumes early, but they were from like other countries, yeah, other continents, other countries, all over the world, lots from Nigeria, and we decided early on, you know what, we're not in a position to do the whole immigration process and deal with that, we're just going to look for someone that's going to be here, and so we just had a piece of saying, you know what, just be patient. And as we prayed about it, we just felt like God saying, you know what, it's okay, I'm with you, and I will guide you. So that kind of dragged on and came into 2025, and we're still looking, and, you know, people, even us on the search committee, starting to get a little bit restless. Okay, God, what are you doing, right? And I just kept remembering Lyndon's sermon, saying, you know what, I feel like God has the right person for you at the right time. And so then we got some resumes from people in Canada, but, like, early in the process, we had given you guys a survey as a congregation to say, hey, what are you looking for in a pastor? What type of a person? What kind of a fit? And we used that as a filter for the resumes that came in. So some of the resumes came in. We just right away didn't even, we just said, thanks for your interest, but, you know, we're moving in a different direction. You know, we didn't even contact them back. Some resumes came in, and at the initial was like, oh, wow, this is actually, this guy could be pretty good. And then we asked for more questions. Like, I remember one guy, we asked, you know, what do you think is one of the main challenges facing the church nowadays? And his response was, well, I think the church has dropped the ball in that they don't enforce head covering. The Bible's very clear on head coverings for women, you know? And we went, okay, I don't think this guy's going to fit with us. So, you know, and again, it was just, you know, as we prayed about it, just like be patient. And anyways, summer 2025, we got Ben's resume. And right away, we were like, wow, okay, this is somebody we want to follow up with. And we want to see where this goes. And it's just, Ben was away in Australia for a bit, but he was proactive and just reaching out to us, say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be gone. When he came back, he reached out. And as we just started the process, I don't know, we just saw different places where we felt like God's hand was leading us and directing us in this way. And you know, as we looked at answers to prayer and even things that Lyndon had said, and even as we interacted with Marvin and just who Ben and Dayla were as a couple and just how they fit with us as people, but also, you know, theologically. And so, yeah. And then as we extended the call here in the fall, basically we had our process kind of do the candidating in November. And then we had our congregational meeting end of November and extended the call, and they accepted. And we just are thankful to the Lord that he, as he said, he is faithful, he is with us. And even in our period of waiting, he answered our prayers. And so we're glad to have you guys. And as a search committee, we're just happy that this day has come, and just thank the Lord for how he directed us, even in the longer timeline than we wanted. So, but we praise him for that as well. So.
Give you that. You'll need it in a minute. So thank you, Calvin, for sharing that process with us. And just in a moment, I'm gonna make a statement, and Ben's gonna reply with a statement. We've written them down. It's important to get the words right. We're not gonna go on for a long time. Just a simple statement, but these statements are meaningful in that they put into words the commitment that you have and that he has as your pastor, and that will be the declaration of installation. And so I just want to reiterate to you what was just shared with you, and that is we're doing this based on the witness, and I think that's the right word, the witness of the search committee, who went through prayer and careful planning and figuring out what process they would use, and interviews, and rejecting some, and asking me to interview Ben at one point, and we got to know each other on Zoom and talk theological stuff, so that search committee process is a witness. They were carefully and consistently seeking the leading of the Lord, and then when they came to the conclusion, they bring that to the board of the church. And then the board goes through what they've done and say, prayerfully thinking, yes, this is this person we want to ask to candidate here. And at the same time, Ben and Dayla are doing the same thing on their side, maybe not with committees and all of that, but they're doing the same thing on their side. And then that comes together in the candidating time when you all get to know one another, and then you vote. And I really do believe that this is the surest way that we can know God's will, is on the witness of the counsel and prayers of God's people. We can sometimes say, I had a vision, I know God's will, and I think the right thing for the church to do is say, let's bring that to the council of the church and see if everyone agrees that that's God's will. I really think that is there's other ways that God speaks, but that's when that's when I become confident, when it's consistently on the witness of God's people. So that's how we stand here and why we stand here today. And Ben, I'm going to read these words, and I'll ask you to respond. It's simple, it's straightforward, but we've carefully chosen words that will mean what we really mean to say here today. So based on these witnesses, I declare that Ben Loring, sorry, I forgot how to ask you how to say your last name.
That's great, Loring.
Loring, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Let's start over. I hereby declare that Ben Loring has been called to serve as the pastor of the Claremont Community Church. Under the guidance of God, through the prayerful deliberations of this church fellowship and as prescribed in the church's constitution.
I hereby accept this call because I know that it is the call of God on my life, and I dedicate myself to faithfully carry out my role as the pastor of Claremont Community Church, with the Lord's help and your prayerful support.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you glory today. We are here because you first loved us. We know your love. We know your love, not just generally, but specifically for this church at this time. We thank you for your love and your grace and your guidance. We thank you that we have seen your hand in this process. Sometimes we like to see, as those around Jesus, to see signs and wonders. And that is good when that happens. But Lord, we become confident when your Spirit guides through your people in this quiet and confident way. And so, Lord, we thank you for your specific guidance at this time. The patience of the search committee in the church to say no to some seemingly good candidates because it wasn't right, and to recognize when the right application came in Ben's application. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And God, I thank you for Ben as the new pastor of this church. I pray that his special and unique ways of being gifted and formed for this time will be able to shine forth in this flock of your people. Lord, I pray that this relationship, though I'm sure it will have ups and downs, will grow and flourish and become something that is beautiful and bring glory to you. Amen. I'd like to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll begin in verse 4. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we are not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly have had the right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you. We were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's news to you. You yourselves are our witness, and so is God, that we were devoted and honest and faultless toward all you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share his kingdom and his glory. You know, pastoral work and the relationship between a pastor and a church is unique. It's different than, I think, any other relationship. It's beautiful, it's full of blessings, but it also has hardships and things that can be challenging to navigate. I think I first became really well aware of these challenges as a pastor. In the first church I was pastoring, I think it was probably the second year I was there. My wife Colleen and I, we were in a little little town in the mountains in British Columbia, and just about the only thing worth doing in the summer was fishing in the mountain lakes. And so she disagrees that going to the beach was far better, but there was fish in that lake too. But I remember there was a guy, his wife was on the board of the church. She was a regular attendant, but he came just once in a while, Christmas and maybe a couple of two or three times a year. And he invited me to go fishing. And he was bringing a friend, another guy who I have no idea. I don't think he'd ever been to church in his life. And so on Friday morning early, we got in the truck, put the aluminum topper on top boat on top of the truck, and drove up into the mountains. And around noon, we pulled that boat through the bush into the lake, and spent the afternoon and evening fishing and cooked the fish we'd caught on the side of the lake, and crawled three grown men to the back, the little camper cap on the back of the truck, and slept the night, and got up before the sun, and got back out on the lake, perfectly calm, and as the fish started to rise, and just a beautiful time, and got home Saturday night, And being a pastor then, it's time to review my notes for the sermon. I hadn't looked at them for 2 days, and the little church came together and we had the service. And after the service, I had two conversations with members of my board that were the exact opposite of each other. I don't remember the exact words, but the gist of it was this. One of the guys was making the assumption that he could meet with me tomorrow, Monday, which was normally my day off, because I just worked for, I just been on holidays for 48 hours straight. I wasn't going to take any days off this week coming up. So, okay, fine. I'm okay with that. And then I had another conversation with a board member that same Sunday after the service. And he was thinking I wouldn't be at Bible study Wednesday because I'd been working full time for 48 hours and should take an extra couple of days off this week. Completely opposite perception of what had happened. What was ministry? What was pastoral work and what wasn't? And that's what is true about pastoral work. It's a calling. It's not a 9-to-5. It's very difficult for pastors to ever know. And it's actually wrong to try to determine when you're working and when you're not. Because if you do it right, everything in life is ministry. Now, there are certainly times when a pastor is working, and there's times when he's off, should be anyways. But at the same time, was that fishing trip ministry? Or was it time off? Well, it depends on your perspective. It depends on who you are. And so that those things can get complicated. And so I want to give a charge to you specifically, Ben. I don't hope you don't mind me singling you out and preaching directly to you this morning. But I'm also going to be speaking to you, the church as well, from 1 Thessalonians here. Now, there's a lot we could get into here. And it's not a one-to-one because they're talking here about apostles to people that they've planted churches among. So it's not a one-to-one pastor and church relationship that's being talked about here. But it is definitely talking about the relationship between the minister and those ministered to. And I think that's where we can take our cue from here. I'm only going to pull out three things from this passage where we could pull out much more, but there's three metaphors that are given for ministry. And I want you to put those in mind today on this installation service. These are the bolts we're going to ratchet down this morning. And so think about these three metaphors, and if you keep these things in mind, I think they'll be a good, they'll give you a good footing to get going together in ministry. So the first metaphor is in this first part of verse 7, and he says, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead, we were like children among you. Like children. So Ben, this is a challenge and a charge to you as a pastor. When you think about your ministry here in this church, in this community, among these people, be like a child among them. Now, that might not be the first metaphor that would come to all of our minds when we think of pastoral ministry. But this is the one that Paul uses, or the first one. There's three here, but this is the first one, like children. And Ben, what this really, if I want to put this in one word, I think I would say it means humility. Don't assume, don't think that you know better than these people. They've been in this community, they've been following God here together far longer than you've been among them. And so to be like a child among them does mean humility. I can tell you with absolute certainty from my own experience and from other pastors I know, the number one way pastors get into trouble in their church is by thinking that they can make demands of the congregation. Now, you might have a certain amount of authority that would allow you to do that for a while and get away with it. But children, they might try to make demands of their parents, but it never works. If the demands of the child aren't in alignment with the parents' desires, it's not going to happen. We just heard that about our prayer life, right? This morning already. Praying in accordance with God's will. So that's the first metaphor. Church. What does this mean for you? Do you know who are the most easy people to take advantage of? Children. If your pastor is going to follow this teaching and be like a child among you, it will be very easy for you to take advantage of that. And that would be absolutely wrong. If he exhibits humility before you, that can be taken as weakness. Oh, we can just drive this pastor around and make him do whatever we want him to do. That's not going to end well either. Don't take advantage of that. The answer, of course, is to be like children together. Now, pastoral ministry is a leadership role, and you might be thinking, well, how can a child lead? Well, let me ask you this. I hope you've had this experience, and I think everyone or most of you have. Have you ever been in a room, probably a living room, or maybe even here in this room when the chairs are put in circles instead of in rows, and a mother comes in and lays down a blanket in the middle of the couches in the living room and puts a baby on the blanket with some toys and then goes and sits down. What happens? Every conversation stops. Adults of every age focus in on that child. And people make faces and sounds they would be absolutely embarrassed about if they were recorded and put out in public in a different context. Goo goo, gaga, all kinds of things. And when that child turns and smiles and giggles at you, you're the winner. The child is leading in that moment. The baby is leading, can't even talk yet. But you've probably also gone on holidays, either as parents or grandparents, and one of the reasons we like that so much and it creates such good memories is because if you're normal people, and I'm assuming you're all normal, or at least normal enough that this makes sense, you go on holidays, and what usually happens when it's done correctly is the parents let their guard down and for a little bit let the children lead. They go to the beach, they have some shovels, and the children show them what to do. We're going to dig a hole here, and we're going to trench it over here. The child knows where that trench needs to go. And then, Dad, you're going to go back and forth in the lake with this little cup of water and fill this thing up that we just dug in. And what is the dad just does it. The child leads, and it's so much fun. And so Paul uses this metaphor for ministry. Be like a child among the people. Now, this should come as no surprise because you all know Jesus' words in Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you, Pastor Ben, church, if you're like children. Don't take it so seriously. Allow it to be playful. Allow it to be playful. Be like children. But that's not the only metaphor. I can go way over time because these things are so fruitful to think about. But I want to give you two more. In the second part of verse 7 and verse 8, we hear this. Or, not just like children, there's something else. We were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Ben, be like a mother to this church. Now we all know what that means. In a word, it's if it's done well, and even if it's done pretty poorly, a mother's role to the children is to be a life giver. Now in the early stages, that's involuntary. When the child is in the womb, the mother gives it life. It comes out of her body that the life is given to that child. Now, of course, God is creating that child and building it. There's a wonderful, miraculous thing going on there. But the mother's role is to give of herself in ministry to that child, giving it life. And then once it's born, that continues in various different kinds of ways. And we even know as we grow older that we continue to lose our life for the sake of our children. Be like a mother, Ben, to this church, feeding and caring for them as if they were your own children. Paul says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. It's focused and centered around God's good news, the gospel, but it also involves physical lives. Be like a mother. a life-giving mother, a sacrificial kind of care. Now, church, this means something to you as well. You can't just sit there and expect your pastor to be like a mother to you. You also need to be receptive to the care that is offered. Does the child decide what kind of care the mother's going to give? Each mother is a little bit different. No, the child receives the care that's offered, even if it's not perfect, and it never is perfect. But the child receives the care that its mother offers to it. And there's always mistakes. There's struggles. There's some attempts at care that just don't work. And yet, the mother never gives up, never stops trying to give care. Now, when we get to be teenagers, we sometimes reject the care, but that's a different story. Church, be receptive to the care that Pastor Ben offers to you. It might not be the kind of care that your previous pastor gave. It might come through different gifts and different avenues, and at first you might have difficulty receiving nourishment from it. But receive it gratefully, irregardless, without judgment. The baby doesn't judge the mother that's struggling to breastfeed. It just keeps trying. And if it ends up being a bottle, it ends up being a bottle instead. They figure it out together. Receive the care that he will give. Learn how to receive what he has to offer. Maybe you've never thought about this before, but learn how to receive what he has to offer. He's your mother. That's the metaphor given here. Of course, there's more to it because it has to be gospel-centered, life-giving care. There's other kinds of things that can be attempted that are not, don't fit under this metaphor. But that's what's being aimed for here. And that's what Paul says ministers do. First Peter also said something along these lines. He says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. And that's the recognition that this isn't a human thing. This is a God thing. God is seeking to care for you through the pastor that he has brought here and called to be here. And so receive that care, even when it's not perfect. But there's another metaphor. This might have been where your mind went at the beginning, but it's in verse 11 and 12. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. Ben, as a pastor, you are like a father. You're like a child, you're like a mother, but you're also like a father. And the emphasis that's given here is a father in this example is someone who sets before the people an example, both in the way he lives, but also in the things he teaches. Because sometimes we teach things that we have not yet attained ourselves as pastors. But we set that goal, a life that is worthy, that God considers worthy. So that's what's put before us. That's been what your job is, to put that in front of these people, both in the way you live, but also in the way you teach and in the programs that you bring together here, to set before these people a life that God would consider worthy. But then he uses these words. He says, we plead with you, we encourage you, and we urge you towards that goal. So that there's an urgency and a strenuousness behind that. A father says, here's the goal. We're going to do whatever it takes to get there. And the goal is a life worthy that God would consider worthy. So Ben, be like a father to this church. Don't let the goal become low. Sometimes people say, well, I've grown compared to what I used to be in my walk with Christ. And your job is to say, no, it's over here. Here's the goal. Both in the way you live and the way you teach, and being humble like a child when you don't live the way you teach, because we need to set that goal before all of us. Be like a father. There's an urgency. There's a discipline there. There's a militance, you could even say, in that fathering role that goes there and encourages and courageously charges towards the goal, whatever the obstacles. And church, Pastor Ben might be new here. God has called him here. God has prepared him for this work. Will you follow? Will you follow your father? He's not your real father. God is your father, but he is standing in as a ministry representative to urge you there. 1 Peter, again, chapter 1, 14 says, "So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires." See, that's a real danger here, right? You guys have been running this church for what is it, 2 years, 3 years? And now you've got a pastor. You can just slip back into your old ways of doing nothing around here. No. I mean, there's much more to it than just that, but that's part of it. Imagine what this church could do if you all keep doing everything you've been doing, and then with a pastor now you can do more. You can step it up. I know there's something he'll take over that you've got to arrange that in terms of what works out in terms of gifts and time and all of that. But don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chooses you is holy. For the scripture says, "You must be holy because I am holy." You know, there's, I don't think that these metaphors are in the order they are by accident. I think it's on purpose. You see, Ben, as the pastor of this church, you can't hope to lead like a father, care like a mother, until you first humbly live with these people as a child. Because that's where trust builds. That's where openness starts. Think about that baby on the floor in the living room that I tried to bring into your memory, that hopefully you've all had that experience. If someone recorded your faces and your sounds and put that, in the boardroom, you'd be so embarrassed. Get to be like that together, where nothing embarrasses you as a church and a pastor. Be like children together. Don't take it so seriously. You can laugh, you can have fun, even if nothing gets done. But in that process, something beautiful is getting done. And then, be like a mother comes next. Ben, these people will never trust you to urge them and get out the cattle prod and say, "You got to go here. I see your gift, it's time to step up." Until they're absolutely confident that no matter what it costs, you will care for them like a mother. Your presence here will be life-giving. Once that trust is established, and I don't know how long that takes, then these people will allow you to be a father. Now, of course, we don't wait 2 years and act really weird and childlike before we do the others. It's all together at the same time, but it's a balancing act. You do as much of the different things, you do them all together at the same time, but they're in order because they need to be established in this way. But church, who is going to minister to Ben and Dayla if you don't? Who is going to build them up? Who is going to fill them up? Who is going to be the ministers to them unless you are? You are the only ones. You need to take on this role. You need to take on this important ministry role of being like children with your pastor. Don't be afraid to be embarrassed and then laugh about it together. Be like children. Be humble before your pastor, even as he is humble before you. A mutual submission. You wouldn't believe what you will get, what God will do through this couple if they become absolutely certain that, like a mother, you will look after their needs. You have no idea the potential that sits right here if you can convince them of that. Not just in their heads, but in real life. If they know that nothing is too costly for them to do in ministry, but that you will not replenish and fill up their needs, you have no conception of what you can, God will do through them. Be like a mother to your pastor and his wife. Minister to them. And yes, sometimes your pastor will need a father. An encouragement, an urging. Say, we got to talk about this, pastor. But if you've first been like children, you can easily fall into playfulness at any moment. And if you've been like a mother, they have complete confidence that even if there's a confrontation over an error or something you need to talk about that's serious, like a father does. You know, when mom says, wait till dad comes home. Okay, we're going to play for a few hours, but then we're going to stop. So yeah, sometimes as a church, you'll need to be like a father. You'll need to minister to your pastor. But if your pastor knows that that care is there, deep and abiding, that will not be so difficult. Anyways, I could go on. These illustrations, these metaphors are so rich. And I pray that you will not just hear them today, this morning, but you will write them down somewhere and remind yourselves again and again that these are what the Apostle Paul, well, really what God put before us through the Apostle Paul as the metaphors for ministry. There's more in the Bible, but these ones are really meaningful, really helpful. Your relationship together will grow and develop and become something even far more beautiful than it is already. So to put these things a little bit into practice this morning, I've asked the elders and their wives to come forward and Ben and Dayla to come forward, and we're going to spend some time in prayer. I'm praying for your new pastor. I think we'll stand.
All right.
So your board is here as your representative, so this is you standing with your pastor, and maybe you'll get a chance to do this on your own at some point, but we're going to do this way this morning. I'm going to give you the mic, and anyone who wants to can pray. There's no requirement there to pray out loud. But if a few of you at least, or if all of you if you want, would like to pray together, and we'll put our hands on them and bless them this morning. So who wants the mic first?
Lord, we thank you for Ben and Dayla. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for who they are as a couple. And we thank you for how you've looked after this church family as well. And so, Lord, in all these things, we just acknowledge your faithfulness. And Lord, as we look forward into the future, we don't know all the details, but Lord, we pray that we would remain in you, and that, Lord, through Ben and Dayla and through us as a church, Lord, you would continue to build your kingdom here in Claremont, Sexsmith, Grand Prairie, around the world. And so, Lord, we just lift up Ben and Dayla and their hearts to you. We pray that you would continue to give them joy, give them peace, and even as they are settling into a new city and a new place, just to help this to feel at home for them. And we thank you for bringing them to us as a church congregation. I pray that we would love and support them well. And Lord, that together with them and with us and in your strength, Lord, that you would use us for your purposes and what you have for us. And so we just thank you for your faithfulness in all of these things.
Thank you, Jesus. We just worship you. You are the Holy One. You are the faithful One, Lord. We acknowledge that you are the one who has brought us to this place in time where we can lay hands on this wonderful couple and just welcome them deeply and fully and openly, Lord Jesus. We just are thankful for the steps in their story that affirmed the calling here, Lord God, how you laid it all out in your time, in your way. Lord, we just ask for special grace upon them, as there's so much new for them as a couple and two different jobs and a new town and all the things. And even as they get to know us and us them, Lord, we just ask that any spirit of fear would cease and desist now in the mighty name of Jesus, that we'd be able to move forward together with great peace and great just a knowing that you have us and you are leading us, that we'd be able to relax and play as children and not try to be getting to the next thing, but just enjoy and savor the season of celebration of what you have done and what you will do, Lord Jesus. I pray a special blessing over Dayla, Lord. You know her role in our community and how it is much. Lord, I just ask that as she serves in our community, that you would just bless her relationships. I pray that her times with you would be sweet. I pray that she would feel seen and heard and cared for both at home and here. And I ask that you would just bring the right key people into her story to just journey with her through the ups and downs of living in our area, Lord. Thank you so much for Ben. Thank you for his heart for prayer. Thank you for his wisdom. Thank you for his gentleness, Lord Jesus. Thank you for his desire for relationship and to build that, his patience in that. Lord, I just thank you for who he is and who you called him to be. Lord, I ask that he would just grow and grow in just confidence, knowing his calling, knowing who you've designed him to be and operating from that. And I just thank you in advance for what you will do, are doing in him and through him. Thank you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we can be here this morning to celebrate this this service. We thank you, Lord, for your family. And as Marvin so clearly illustrated in his message this morning, that we're a family, we're your family, and each member of that family has a special purpose, a purpose that you have designed by your provision, and that regardless of the circumstances around us, that family bond is stronger because of you, because of your creation. And we just thank you, Lord, that Ben and Dayla are here with us, the decisions that were made that led us to this point. I thank you, Lord, for the patience that was so clearly illustrated by Ben and Dayla, as we as a search committee had to be patient in our process. And Lord, we thank you for that strength and provision that you gave to each one of us as we went through the process. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just continue on with that patience that you would provide to us as we get to know one another, as Ben and Dayla get to know the community, the surroundings. Just the nuances of each of the people that they're going to meet and interact with, Lord, that you would just give them patience, give them wisdom, and as was mentioned, that they would just be a blessing not only to this church body and the small community around us, but in the larger context of the entire region, the people that they're going to come into contact with, that they would just see a difference. And Lord, we just know that we are meant to be your salt and light. And we just ask that you would bless this couple in the salt and light that they've brought to this community, and that you would be with them each step, each and every day.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ben and Dayla, and that you have brought them here to serve you through our church, and we pray that they will lean on you for strength as they are the face of the Claremont Community Church going forward, and that we remember as a congregation that we are also here for them as much as they are here for us. We are the body of Christ, and they are simply being placed in a position of leadership among us, but they are still one of your children that we need to support as well. In your name we pray.
Now may the God of peace,
who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all the church says, Amen.
I'll ask the worship team to come for our closing song.
Oh, Well, we were honored to come on this particular Sunday with a new beginning.